Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
The legend lives on from the...
We talked to Gordon Lightfoot's biographer off the top of the show. The second part of that interview is coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. Hi, everybody. I'm Jim Richards. Breaking news yesterday broke up our show, and we were joined by a whole bunch of Canadians who had an impression of what Gordon Lightfoot meant to songwriting and also to this country. We're happy to be joined tonight by world-renowned classical guitarist Leona Boyd. Leona, thank you very much for your time.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm guessing you were a huge fan, but were you also a friend of Gordon Lightfoot's?
Yes, 50 years. Yeah, we toured together for 2 years all over Canada and the U.S., actually more in the U.S., I guess, but we did quite a few Canadian dates too, starting around 1976. I'd go up to the private airport and we'd fly off in his Learjet. And we had all kinds of adventures, crazy crowds from Universal Amphitheater in Los Angeles to Pine Knob, Michigan. I remember we had 25,000 people all sitting on the grass. I love that you chose the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald. That was his sound check. I'd hear it every night with him tuning up and warming up. So I know every lyric to that song.
Oh.
And then we did a tribute. Well, he did. I mean, I was the opening act. But I played for 30 minutes before each one of his shows, and he always brought me back at the end to take a bow with him. And we played in Traverse City, Michigan, where a lot of the sailors had come from. And the whole town came out, and they gave him a medal, and it was a great honor. But we had so many different adventures.
So you know him. We've talked to a lot of people who've just known him, and they've, you know, been music fans, but you know him personally. Is there anything that you can share about him as a man that perhaps people don't know?
Well, I'll tell you a humorous story. I have a lot, but I was very sad to hear when he was sick. I talked to his wife just a few days ago. Yes, I'll tell you. We were touring in Texas, and Texas was wild. We were in the Tarrant County Convention Center in Fort Worth, which is the city adjoining Dallas. And they just absolutely loved Gordon and me. And after we got back, it was late, we got back to the hotel, and a blackout happened. So he said, oh, come and join the band. We'll all have a margarita. And usually I would just go back to my room, change strings, and iron my dress or do girls' stuff.
Yeah.
They were always drinking afterwards, so I said, okay. And then it was a blackout, so there was no way for me to get back to my room. It was completely pitch black. So I decided to try and sneak a candle, and the waitress caught me with a lit one, so I snuck an unlit one in my handbag, and she caught me too, so I... With great difficulty, I got back into my room, and the only light I could do, Pee Wee Charles, who was the steel string player, he gave me a set of matches. So I lit all the different things one by one in the room, the Hertz rent-a-car, the room service menu, the dry cleaning slip. I made a kind of a bonfire in the bathroom. And so I was able to brush my teeth and do my hair and wash my face, got into bed. And suddenly, there's a knock on the door. So, you know, I was in my nightie, went to the door, and there was Gordon. I said, oh, my goodness, is he drunk? Is he going to come and want to spend the night with me? Well, yes, he wanted to come, and he said, I'm going to keep all my clothes on, but can I sleep in the bed? I was kind of shocked. So I said, okay. So he took his shoes off, got into the bed. I was very self-conscious. I think I probably had Clarasil on my face or whatever, but at least it was dark. And then a few minutes later, he said, oh, I'll be right back. And he'd gone to collect his guitars. He didn't want to leave them alone. So he clanged open the door, brought the guitars in. I finally got to sleep. I was a bit concerned. This had never, ever happened before, and it never happened again. And then in the morning, he was gone. I just smelt a... You know, I could still smell the ash of the smoke from the bonfires I'd made. And then Gordon looked a little sheepish at the breakfast with all the band. And he said, "Did you sleep well, Leona?" I thought, did I just imagine that? But, you know, I think he was actually a bit afraid of the dark himself.
Yeah,
I don't know for sure, but I was either extremely chivalrous of him to want to make sure I was okay, or he just wanted company. And he, believe me, he had a lot of company on those tours.
Sure.
Different women every few nights.
Well, what a fantastic story. Thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. You want some more stories, just read my book. I have a lot of them. There's a whole chapter on Lightfoot. And I wrote a song, a tribute to him, called Lightfoot.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take a look for that. Thank you very much. Leona Boyd, classical guitarist, toured with Gordon Lightfoot. Our friend Richard Krause also had a strange encounter with Gordon Lightfoot. And I asked him, listen, you've interviewed a lot of great musicians. Where does interviewing Gordon Lightfoot stand as a highlight?
It was a real highlight, mostly because of the circumstances surrounding it. Always a pleasure to meet someone like that. I'd met him several times before. Once I was at a big party for SOCAN, and I was standing in the corner. I didn't know anybody, and I was surrounded by people like Gordon Lightfoot. And so I was just standing in the corner, kind of biding my time, having a drink, looking for someone, desperately looking for someone in the room I might know. And these two young women came barreling through towards where Gordon Lightfoot and I were standing. We were standing about 5 feet apart. They had a camera. They were giggling. I thought they were going to go to Gordon Lightfoot and say, hey, can we get a picture with you? Instead, they went to Gordon Lightfoot and asked him if he could take a picture of them with me. And so
that
we had that sort of
the best story ever. Yeah.
Sort of this uncomfortable moment where he agreed to do it, you know, and I have a feeling I never saw the picture. I'd hoped that it would be kind of imbued with that kind of poetry that he brought to everything that he wrote and the way he created his music and things. But I'm sure it was just another blurry, out of focus party picture. But it was kind of a funny moment. So I'd met him in that situation. We spoke a little bit after the photo taking and one other time. And then I got to go to his house to interview him for my television show, Pop Life. And it was a real trip to go up there. I won't tell you where he lives, but Drake is a neighbor. And we were up in his giant home. And as we're getting set up, I'm taking a walk around down on the main level. And I walk into what I guess is the living room. And it is nothing on one huge wall, a 30-foot wall. Nothing but fan paintings of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So people have painted pictures of this and sent them to him over the years. And there were dozens of them. And it was really kind of overwhelming. You walk in, and when you see them all together like that, you really get a sense of the connection that his fans have not only to that song, but to him as well. And it's reciprocated. He put these things up in his home in a room that I'm sure that he used every single day. And there were also photos of his parents everywhere. There was a giant poster for him at Carnegie Hall, like a bigger than life size poster of him advertising that gig. So you're just sort of surrounded by all this stuff. And then we go into the room where we're going to do the interview. And there's a reel-to-reel machine in there that I'm told he used to record demos for many of the songs that I grew up hearing on the radio.
Yeah.
And sitting behind me was a guitar kind of propped up against the wall.
Yeah.
If you go on.
Well, listen, I hate to cut that short. We're going to play that a little bit later on, the full interview with Richard Krause. We kind of ran out of time. When we come back, it's The Draft featuring movies most underrated next.